Eichmann University.
Edna Mode. And guess. I cut it a little roomy for the free movement. The fabric is comfortable for sensitive skin. And it also will withstand the temperature of over 1,000 degrees. Completely bulletproof. And machine washable, darling. That's a new feature.
I blended Kevlar with carbine for durability under duress and cotton for comfort. Interwoven with these fabrics are a mesh of tiny sensors that monitor the baby's physical properties.
That is useful.
Hi everyone, I'm Noam Benzinwa.
And I am Michal Bargil.
And we welcome you to our episode of the ZMI podcast on Audioversity.
Our guest today is Ori Topaz, a designer and researcher specializing in leather and textile. She holds degrees from Hunter College and Shankar.
And she is senior lecturer at Shankar Design Faculty and managing director at CIRTEX, Center for Innovation and Research in Textile.
Hi, Ori. We're so happy that you're here.
Hi.
So first and foremost, we need to understand what are smart textiles. In our research, we define smart textiles as fabrics embedded with technologies that enable them to interact with their environments or with the wearer. Ori, do you have something that can maybe explain to our listeners, in simple words, what are smart textiles?
I actually think that your definition is rather accurate. I can tell you that with the team that I work with at CIRTEX, our vision board has the body at the center, and then the textiles is sort of a multi-layer interaction around it. And then, like you said, the closer layer to the body, which is usually the knitted version, it can be our underwear, our t-shirts, our underwear, has the potential to look inward and detect biomarkers of the body. For example, they can detect a pulse, blood pressure, all of that can be looked, has the potential to look into the body. And then the other layer, which is usually woven, is more robust, is more defensive. It looks outward and has the potential to augment the capabilities of the wearer. So that's also the way that we look at it. And I think that the most challenging aspect here is look at it as a system and not as individual detection points, but look at it as one system. So that's what we're trying to develop.
So it's not the same like smartwatch.
I think it's not a gadget. It's making your shirt smart. It's
integrated with all of your body.
Integrated with all of your body. And then there are all sorts of questions, which I think we're going to get to. And why should I? Like, why would I wear it? Like, why would I put myself such a layer? Am I defending myself? Am I trying to say something to the world with it? So it's the also the scenario is very important here. And what we do is usually we start from the scenario. We try to understand what the problem is, and then the development always has that in mind before we even go to the technical problems. And then what we also do sometimes, and this is from a very practical reason, is that we divide it to sensoric application and then actuation. So sometimes you would need to sense something, you would need to collect signals or collect data from the body, and sometimes you would want to be able to actuate something, to make it active. You would want to start filming something, or you would like to start a vibration motor to signal something to someone. So these two, like input and output, always they go hand in hand with our work. We always have to prioritize according to the scenario, what is it that we want to detect and what is it that we want to put out there, to that we want to be able to activate.
So in terms of the visual, we're speaking about a textile, an underwear, a t-shirt or something that is, it's basically a system. And it's very interesting to see how these technologies are going to develop. So what are the most innovative smart textile you've worked with?
I can tell you that Etch&Car, the research we do, is usually based around material. For example, we just published an article on carbon nanotubes, which is an innovative material that we used for conductive yarns. We could take a really innovative new material and in a few months to integrate it into an industrial-made type of textile to demonstrate different technology that we can create. Mm-hmm. Right now we have a touch sensor, wetness sensor, a rupture, and a heating sensor that we are fully able to integrate within garments units.
So in terms of the textile itself, would I be able to differentiate between a normal textile and a smart textile?
Not necessarily. I think that what would be detectable is the electronic embedded in it. There are still many problems with that, which is also something that we are working on with great success, I must say. Mm-hmm. But the conductive yarns, there is a lot of them that are already off-the-shelf products. So they're darker, usually, you know, they're made mm-hmm. from carbon, from silver. Sometimes they are coated with a different yarn, so they can be light as well. So the textile itself wouldn't necessarily give the fact that it's smart, but somewhere down the line, there would have to be a connector, a cable, a battery, something like that. So that's when you will realize that there's a smart parameters integrated within it.
So how did you first get into smart textile?
I did my master's degree at Etch&Car, and I was exposed to a lot of innovative capabilities in the realm of textiles. In my background, I'm a fashion designer, so I was immediately drawn into that with my courses selection and all of that. And there were three main topics that I kept going back to. One is the circularity, that textile, you know, is second in the world in as far as pollution. Then the smart textiles, the electronics, which we have different labs. Cirotex is one of them. And also the traditional craft, which is also doing a comeback now, you know, with a lot of cultural heritage and knowledge that are almost forgotten and are close to being endangered. And we're really trying to put it alive again and to kind of rescue it and to get the valuable information that is coded within it. So this is kind of like where I started my exploration. And this is also what I'm bringing to Cirotex at the moment. So the research that I'm involved with are kind of like in between these topics. At Cirotex, I'm trying to bring these three body of knowledge into actions, and we are doing it, you know, as a research center, we are dependent on external funding. Some of it comes from a defense area, security areas. Some of it comes from the medical realm.
You said that you are getting funds from the security field. Can you tell us a bit more about your daily work in this area? How do you see smart textile integrate into the security field?
Well, at Cirotex, we work at a very low TRL. TRL is a technology readiness level. So we are not obligated to produce products. We are obligated to think outside the box and develop demonstrators that actually shows innovative capabilities. And it doesn't necessarily have to be industrial partners that comes from security. It can be also from sports or from medical use. They can come to the table and see our innovative capabilities and react to that. Etch&Car is a very special place in that sense. We have all the different workshops for weaving, for knitting, for non-woven. So we have access to a lot of technology. And then there is also a really good interdisciplinary team. So there are electronic engineers and there are designers and they work together. So a lot of very interesting things happen. It's actually a real pleasure to lead such a group. We speak different vocabularies, we speak about different ideas, but then the integration happens and some magic happens there. And then we show our work, and sometimes there would be an industrial need that could be covered, okay? For example, from the medical world or from sports world. There's not a lot of sports smart textile here in Israel, but it exists.
Yeah,
out
we
there.
Saw.
Exactly. You can say in general that the three main fields of funding in this area is security, sports, and medical. And they all try to do the same thing, but they just need different parameters. They need to integrate, they need to detect different parameters. So for example, a sports athlete, you would want to know where it's at his peak. But firefighters, you would want to know when he has fatigue. but it's the same. So it's the same parameters, but the information that you need to analyze from it is different because you have different scenarios. You have different needs in the situation.
So the biometric parameters that the smart textile is able to detect is basically, it's about heart rate. Can it, for example, detect respiratory rate?
Nowadays, I believe it. You can find a sensor. It can detect pretty much everything. I don't want to generalize, but what I'm specializing is the relation between the craft and technology. Okay, so in my background, I'm a maker. I know how to make a textile or to make a garment or to make a bag. And that really helps me in integration. So usually I would look for different coatings or different fibers or different off-the-shelf sensors that I can embed within a unit that I develop. Okay, so even if I don't have a respiratory, or what did you ask for? Like you gave an example, heart rate. So I would need to find the sensor that I would be able to integrate and not necessarily develop it from scratch. Other units or other teams, they work differently. For example, if it's more on a material science, then they can develop a special coating that can detect, sweat. They can detect lactic acid for an athlete in his muscles. So then their integration would be different. They would look for a textile designer that would make a textile from it. So just to explain kind of like where the specialty is and then what we're trying to bring into the table.
So it's an amazing technology. And we would like to know, what are the biggest challenges in smart textile? Starting with maybe the most basic one. They need to survive real life. If they get dirty, what about washing machines? How do you tackle those practical challenges?
So it's well known that the main challenges are the durability and the washability and the power bank, okay? Durability is something that can be improved by different, it's also relates to material science. So it's the more robust coatings, different ways to produce a filament, like additive manufacturing, that sort of stuff that just gives you a more robust structure. Mm-hmm. Washability is an issue. Laundry is an issue. I don't know if you're familiar with the Google Jacquard project. They developed a jeans jacket for Levi's that could hold like 20 washes. And this was like a market product. So it's still unsolved. Electronics and textiles are produced completely different. So it's like two production lines that needs to be embedded together. It's a huge problem to tackle. A lot of time you would see that at least part of the electronic is being removed from the unit before washing. Still, there are connectors, there are lines of thread that are already embedded within the textiles that has to stand a certain amount of washes. And after that, the coating is gone or there is some sort of, failure points there. These are familiar problems, but I actually think that this is going to be resolved at somewhere down the line with the biodesign applications. I was at a conference in November, and there was a student, a master's student in design, that showed their pressure sensor that she developed, a capacitive pressure sensor from a novel cellulose-based yarn embedded with wool that worked as the dielectric material. Mm-hmm. And it was like, to me, this was like really innovative. Her research not only touched on the functionality, on the way that the textile works, but also on the circularity of it, on how it could be broken to different materials at the end of it. So I think this kind of a wholesome approach is very important. And it's also what's going to bring the answers or the solutions when it comes to embedding the electronics within the material.
I think that integrating between the electronics and the textile raises a complex, sustainable and regulatory challenge. How do you think that we can handle this issue, like recycling it, disposal?
I must say that up until now, as part of the example I just gave, I don't think I've seen any other example for a sustainable product that is smart. We know already that electronics needs to be disposed in really different ways than textiles. And also, we put so much pressure into integrating between the two that breaking them down or, you know, taking them apart is actually kind of like the opposite of what we're trying to do. So it's complex.
But as a researcher, you don't take it like as something you need to think about it when you're trying to invent something new or trying to integrate between those two very different things.
Definitely. And some of our innovative work revolves around different connectors that has the opportunity or the capability to connect between flexible textiles and rigid electronics. And what we usually do is that we have part of the connector embedded in the textile as a full part of it, something that can go to the, can be washed and that will be very durable. And the electronic would be kind of like a plug and play. You can put it on, you can change the code, you can play with it. So you can always integrate the electronic.
So for now, it's not like embedded into the fabric. It's something that you can like take apart from.
The conductive yarns are always embedded in the fabric. It's part of the textile itself. I mean, where the way that we work, it does not necessarily like that. But all of our research has to do with weaving and knitting that is industrial, that can be used for different types of uniforms or a gear that is worn for many, many times. But the electronic part of our solution is to have this plug and play unit, so that we can maintain a robust textile gear, but then we have also the electronic and it can be integrated and embedded over and over and again.
So another issue that might be very interesting is the legal aspect. So we are speaking about collecting biometric data from people. It raises privacy and data security. So we can't wait to see how this develops.
I was a part of a group that wrote a proposal for the European Union under Horizon, and we focused with on first responders, on firefighters. And then we interviewed a few firefighters worldwide, and we realized that most of the time, the person who wears the smart textiles wouldn't necessarily want to be detected. He wouldn't necessarily want his commander knowing at real time what his heart rate is or how much panicked he is, because it's not only private, but also it's kind of like gives the force on you to someone else, okay? And they told us, you know, that from firsthand, when they go into a fire, when they go to save a kid or someone from a burning house, when he comes out, he does not remember the apartment at all. It's like it's all blank for him. And a lot of time, it's like it could be that at this moment, his commander would say, okay, you're not capable of doing that. But he still wants to do that. And that's his decision to make. And that's something that a lot of them brought into the conversation, that they wouldn't necessarily want to give such a decision on someone else. Eventually, you would want to be in charge of what you're doing and how much courage you're using and when do you feel safe and when do you feel like you want to take the risk. So that has to do a lot with privacy. If we give a flow of information on your body and on your current parameters to someone else, and he's your commander, he's in charge on your behavior, it performs some sort of ethical issue that is still not resolved.
I'd like to ask you another question, Ori. It's about the price of the smart textile. Mm. We are expecting the prices to be much higher than regular textile.
At least for now, until they're going to be like a huge manufacturing of it.
Yeah, I'm not that much close to the market. We are working in a, like I said, this is a lab environment and like more developing new ideas. But I can say that usually what you see in the market are very pricey product, and they usually know how to do like one thing or two things and not more than that. Okay, so you would have like a sports bra by Adidas that is like blah blah blah, you know, and it has an app, but it's kind of like
only for blood pressure or
for blood pressure or only for this and this type of sports. So it's very, very limited, and I still don't see like who would be the crowd that would really want to invest in it. I mean, we can see today that people are, you know, all about smartwatches and that, but the added value that you get from a smartwatch is huge. Reminders.
It not just give you parameters.
Exactly. So I think that before we would be able to have something that is more inclusive, I don't know who the market is exactly for such a product.
So probably not like the regular person going to the mall or something and buying a shirt, maybe for like more hospitals, teams of sports.
It's usually for first responders. It could be a soldier, a police officer, or any type of, you know, uniform wearer. It could be sports and athletes that, you know, they need, and this is actually a huge crowd of it that wears it all the time, but very professional reasons, right? And then the medical world, and I think that what's happening with the medical world is also very interesting, because what we see is that a lot of the treatments or the monitoring of people in different situations could be done at home, which gives them less pressure and it's easier to take care of. So I don't know, if you're a pregnant woman with some risk and you needed to go to the doctor 3 times a week and get yourself tested, and now you can sit at home and watch TV and, you know, wrap a belt around your body and take the same measurements, and then they would go directly to the doctor. I mean, this is a huge change in your daily care and also in how comfortable you are.
And for looking like 10 years from now, how do you see smart textile fitting into our everyday life?
I think it will take more than 10 years. I actually hear for the last 10 years, oh, in 10 years we will be blah, 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 and we're still in a different place. I think biomaterials has a lot to do with that nowadays. Like, I think that the crowd is more ready for that. And like I said before, questions of sustainability are no longer just like the industry problem.
It's become all of us problem.
It becomes all of us problem. We are much more aware of that. And I think that as regular people wearing a smart textile, we would really need to have a good reason to do that. And we're not there yet. I mean, it's still in the realm of first responders, medical people with medical issues and stuff like that, because the price here is still very, very high.
Thank you very much, Ori, for your time, and we appreciate it very much.
It was a pleasure.
It was an
Thank
honor.
You. Thanks a lot.
This was another episode of the ZMI podcast. Special guest, Ori Topaz. Hosts, Michal Bargil and Noam Ben-Zimra. Research partner, Noam Meshulam. Executive producer, Ayelet Triest. Editor, Ben Shani. Professional guidance, Mrs. Inbal Carmel and Professor Dov Greenbaum. You can find more episodes of the ZMI podcast on Audioversity website and all the major podcast platforms.